Huddles in the morning, huddles in the evening, huddles in the afternoon. Well, I'm a puddle boy and she's a puddle girl. The Puddles podcast is starting real soon.
Welcome to Puddles with Andrew Collin. I'm joined by Rachel Feinstein, an amazing comedian. You can see her all over Comedy Central. And
she's Feinstein, fantastic. How dare you?
I'm Jewish, so I pronounce it correct. Do you really get mad about that?
No, I mean, I used to not correct people. I started to think like, oh, I guess I should tell them in case. Either way, it's such a gangrenous name. And like, it's just not a hot name. So it's like, what's the difference? Feinstein. That's a name a guy hears. If your buddy called you up and he's like, I want to say it with this girl, her name's Rachel Feinstein. You'd be like, oh, point her out to me first. Like, let's not jump ahead.
I would be like, is her dad a doctor? That's what I would think. I'd be like, she comes from money.
Right. I know. I always want to get that rumor started about myself. I try to whisper it on elevators. She comes from money. Old money. I just like to go old money.
And mediocre dick. I'll come from anything. Yeah, I don't have a great dick. Anyways, yeah, so
the guy was like, I want to hook you up with this girl, Rachel Feinstein. You'd be like, I want to see some pictures, like 70 photos. That's how many need to see. But
I envision like, a girl from like my Jewish summer camp who was like moderately good looking, but like at camp, she's hot. But outside of camp, she's like.
That's how I was at Camp Louise. I'm not trying to name drop, but I went to Camp Louise and at the dance, there was a dance between the boy camp and the girl camp. And then did you have that ever? There were like a dance where the two camps would get together and everybody would, you know, finger fuck each other. And so we got together with the boy camp. And one of the early traumatizing moments for me is I remember one of the boys was like walking over to me to dance with me, or asked me to dance, and his counselor stopped him and they went into some sort of man huddle. And I heard one of the guys say, no, that one's nothing. She's not a thing. Go with the other one. And then the other guy goes, yeah, you wouldn't, why would you? The other girl looked at you. That one's like, she's not even a thing. She's like gross. And I was like, I've thought about that boy huddle so much. Like I projected like a crowd member with his arms crossed, who's like kind of, you know, like a little J. Crew-ish. I'm like, it takes me right back to Camp Louise and Camp Airy and that damn huddle.
I mean, that is the saddest thing ever. It's like you saw like a private chat room about you.
About me. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, early on, you know, that's probably why you did stand up, probably starting that day. And you're like, it's Feinstein. And then you're like, I'll show you, huddle. I'll be on Comedy Central.
They were also kind of paternal after they said that. They're like, here you go, buddy. That's the girl you walk over. They kind of like rubbed his back and just sort of moved his hips towards the correct girl. Like that was probably a beautiful moment in his life. Like he was just like, and these counselors helped me. I was about to make a really gross decision. And then they helped me make a better one.
You're like, I just want to get fingered under a tree. Like that was camp. Like camp was just like, it was kind of like COVID
getting
time.
Fingered on a hill and nothing else. Yes, totally.
It's like, can you meet me under the oak tree?
Hill. And like, yeah. And then you have to get, did you do that?
Yeah. Oh, I felt the girl's tits on top of the bra. That was cool. And then you would go like a little nipple, but under, you know, fuck, goddamn Wi-Fi. I don't know if it'll ever be good. That's the problem. Like.
To feel tittage over top of bra, you mean?
Oh, I was talking about the Wi-Fi.
Oh, the Wi-Fi. Like, what's not great about that? I would think you'd be full of gratefulness.
I'll tell you what, a nipple, a little bit of nipple while you keep the bra on is fucking amazing because you're just getting that, you know, when the skin changes and it just would turn my little Jew dick on so much.
You made it sound like a snake or something. When the skin changes is a disgusting description. Be ashamed of that, please. It's not sexual either. Like when I just picture some sort of browning process of the skin. Or just, yeah, something, speaking of the word gangrenous, just, yeah, like when somebody grows gangrenous, like somebody whispered to you in a hospice right before you lost a loved one. Like, listen, when the skin changes, you're going to know it's almost the end. That's when you want to hold her hand and just tell her anything comforting or anything you want to impart.
I've never been more turned on than right now. Keep talking about skin changing. The scaly skin, you know? So there was a lot of feeling tits. I never got laid.
No.
At camp. I mean, when did you lose your virginity?
I wish I could be the Robin Hood of pussy and take it away from whoever got it at that Jew camp and give it to you. I do. I would take it away from the bartenders and the, you know, whatever, whoever was, I guess there would be no bartenders at young Jew camp, but I would take it away from like the Chads, whatever the guys that in the huddle, and I would just deliver the puss right to your doorstep.
That means a lot. I found out a lot of the kids that got pussy have died because, you know, they got, because it's like you get pussy in camp and then you probably are going to start snorting cocaine around 17 and then an oxy problem around 22. And then by 24, who's the big winner now? Me, because you're dead, you know?
Right. Yeah. And you're dead.
There's only two of them that died, but that I know of. When did you lose your virginity at camp?
No, let's circle back to the two that died. I wanted to stay there and tag their families.
You want me to name drop?
Yeah, no, that was what I wanted to focus in on. No, I lost my virginity young, but then I never had casual sex because of that, I think, because I like, it was just like one animal. And then I was like, oh, you have to. And he told me it was his first time. And I found out he was like completely lying. It was probably like his 17th time, and not just time, but like with 17 different people. And then me. Yeah. So he pretended he was like frightened and nervous too. Meanwhile, he was like actively fucking, I think, other girls at the school and other places.
He's like putting on like Dave Matthews, lighting candles, like,
yeah, oh,
hold me too. I don't want to come too quick. It's my first time. And then he like drives his Camaro across town.
Oh yeah.
And fucking,
he pretended to get a dusty condom. He would like got like in a jar, like he like got it out of some, like, oh, how does it work? Anyway, that was like probably the fourth one he put on that evening.
Well, at least he wore one, I guess.
Yeah.
Or he lied to you.
Speaking of tagging people, let's circle back to him. I didn't even thank him.
Is he dead now?
I don't think he's dead, no. I think he's like married or something. He messaged me on Facebook a long time ago, but I don't remember what his situation was or something. They all do. They all message you on Facebook and Instagram, don't they?
Once they see you on TV, they're like, oh, I fucked her to fifth. That was the fifth girl I fucked. I remember. I'll never forget her. I kind of have the next day, but you know.
Yeah. But after that, you know, we can blame him for all the other guys. I then cock teased because I made them cuddle with me and do a lot of nonsense they had no desire to do. But after that, I was just like, and I think, oh yeah, we were supposed to meet some friends at a Chinese restaurant, and then he dropped me in the front and then said he was going to go park the car and then just left. It was
maybe
like
he wasn't hungry.
You know what? You're such a...
You know, this story, I'm starting to feel for this guy.
You should. He went to a club in like in DC called Trax, like some Southeast DC club called Trax. And I believe that his night ended with, you know, blow and hookers or something. I don't know.
How old was this guy?
I think he was like 4 years older than me or something like that. I mean, he was like, you should feel for him. I think his life was like a cocktail of pain. He was, I believe that there was rumors that he dealt guns out of his basement, but I'm like, how do you deal guns? Maybe he sold one person a gun. You can just deal guns at it. You can be a gun dealer. He wasn't sophisticated enough. Gun dealer.
I'm running guns out of Columbia. I got 45 Mac 10s coming in. And it's like, no, you sold a BB gun to Jeff, who has Down syndrome. Like, stop it. Like,
I know. He was not an arms dealer, that's for sure, out of Rockville, Maryland. But he was up to no good, I tell you. But after that, I was just like, oh, I got to be real careful now. I can't just mail the puss to anyone. No. And then everybody mail. I'm such an asshole. And then
It just sucks so much that the first, whatever your first time is, it sets you on a course.
I know. I mean, it all comes back to that, those first few experiences, you know, and then after that, I was like, oh, you know, you have to cuddle, you have to do all these things first. And I made guys like sign documents. They had to read like certain sections of journal entries. If they read all my journal entries from 11 to 16, then possibly they could insert themselves in me. I mean, they had to do so much. They had to learn a lot of instruments. But I was...
And the first guy only had to deal guns. Like, that was his only...
That's all he had to do. Was just sell a gun to a guy named Jeff, and then he could be inside me within 20 minutes. But yeah, after that, that was really a wrap. But it is those first few cocktail of experiences. Like, it was like that, and then, I mean, not just sexual, but like in your home. Like, and then I remember my parents arguing about me because I was like emergency dumb. Like, they did scans on me and stuff. They had to scan me and things because nobody knew. There was a lot of meetings. Nobody knew why I was so dumb. It didn't add up because, like, my dad was a civil rights lawyer. He went to graduate school. My mom's a social worker. They didn't have, like, you know, like rich jobs, but they all went to a lot of, you know, they were bright. And then along came.
By the way, how pathetic of them to go through all that schooling and then not make a lot of money. Like, pathetic. No offense.
But... it's really embarrassing.
Yeah. Pathetic.
It's a stain. It's a stain for sure.
But why were you so dumb? Like, how were you dumb?
I was dumb in like a lot of ways. Like, when I got to school, first they would say it started real early, my emergency moron situation. There was a lot of meetings. Like, they couldn't stuff information in my brain. Like, people were trying and really gently helping me. It wasn't like I was neglected in the corner. It was like they were teams trying to stuff facts in my head, and my brain wouldn't take. And kindergarten, I remember they would make a direction to the whole class, and then everybody would get up and do the thing, and I would just be sitting there, you know, or just like drooling or something. And then they thought I had some disorder called figure ground, where you can't tell the difference between one person speaking like out of a sea of people or something. And they thought I couldn't like distinguish the teacher's voice if there was other voices in the room. So they were getting like my hearing checked. I was always getting taken out for like quiet scams. There was always, I was a kid that somebody comes in and, you know, I have to be let out to different therapies and things. And then, but basically I had like severe ADD. Like, I had like, people love to say they have ADD now, you know, it's like this popularized thing to say, but it's like, I mean, my hair was dripping down my back because I wouldn't remember to dry it. I just was go to school with a wet back. And then kids at school would call me wet back. And my mom would be like, they're using racial slurs on our daughter. It's like, no, her back's wet. And people are just trying to give me like a heads up.
So literal.
But so it was just a lot of things like that. Yeah.
I do love that they're like,
they were trying to take me off.
I do love that they're like, our daughter, she has to be deaf. She can't be this dumb. Like, I love that they had to do all these tests to realize, oh no, she is dumb. Like, they're like, no, she has to have some kind of, she has a teacher only speaking at one time. Disease.
I know, this is a ridiculous disorder. I mean, it was like,
I had ADD too. Did you get on medicine?
Yes, you had. I remember that about you, right? It's like debilitating. Like, I have lost my passport so many times. I'm on like a watch list right now. I have like, it's getting bad again, like it used to be. I have like no forms of ID. I just have to like, I brought my like marriage license to like fly a plane. Like, they're like, I'm like handing them all the documents for my life, my yearbook. The guy was disgusted with me. I'm like, it all started, I think, in the fifth grade when I knew I had something, but I didn't know what. I knew I had it, you know? And they're just like, can you please get the fuck out of my face?
They're like, no, but I had ADD. Like, I mean, it was so tough. I went through it. It was so hard because, like, I couldn't learn how to spell a bus. And they're like, ma'am, like, there's like real like problems going on right now, but you don't get it. But you don't get it. Like, I had ADD. I wouldn't take the medicine. I'd put the Ritalin in my pocket.
Why didn't you want to take the Ritalin?
Because it would fuck up my eating and I'd be tired for sports. And I wasn't even that good at sports, but like my whole life was like, I got to be the best at sports. And it's like, and then I didn't even try that hard. It's like,
I would always think it would give you an edge at sports, but you would just crash. You would get tired by the time you went to your sports. Was that what it was?
Yeah. Yeah. You would think it would give me an edge because like it's like speed a little bit, but
no.
I would just give it to girls. Not, and I should have got like hand jobs from it, but I just got them to like be good friends with me. It was pathetic.
You should have gotten a hand job. You're right. In a court setting, they would have definitely the settlement and the verdict would have included a hand job, certainly.
These girls would chase me around for the Ritalin. Like I was like, oh, this is why you're on. I had a cocaine habit and in rehab at 20. You know, like
you were, you did.
No, these girls that.
Oh, the
like,
girls.
And then wow. They were married at like 24, and then they're like, have like two kids at 25, and they're like, this is my life, and like I never ever had a problem, and it's like, no, bitch, I remember you chasing me around school and reaching for the pocket.
I know. Yeah. Now you're in Christmas pajamas, and you're all taking some of those 16 pajama shoots where they have the extended family in, and you're trying to act like everything's fucking fine, but your husband's gay and you have a coke problem, so cut the shit with the matching group pajama shots on Instagram, because why?
And then at like
group pajama shots infuriate me, and they make you think you need group pajamas. Like, what the fuck? I don't need a fucking onesie with everybody in my family. Why do I think I suddenly needed to leap to target.com and get, you know? And it's a lie. It's all a goddamn lie.
It really is. It's like, oh, yeah, the year went terrible. You're cheating on me. The kids have, you know, some kind of weird disorder where they can't learn. But, hey, as long as we match.
Yeah, every picture you see a couple in Instagram and you project whatever, like I'll just see a man's hand on a woman's back and I project like he protects her in a way my husband doesn't protect me. Like, but whenever you, all it takes to me is like one hand on the small of a woman's back. And I'm like, well, guess she's got it better than I do.
But I love you taking your husband's hand and forcing it on your lower back. And you're like, yep, we're the same. We're exactly the same. And it's like, no, you kind of put my hand on your back, not consensually at all.
I essentially do that because he's like not, he's, you know, he's a first responder. He's like emotionally, he's repressed Catholic. Like he doesn't know how to soothe. I have to tell him what you would say. Like when I had COVID, I was like soaked with COVID on the side of a highway. I think I might've told you this. And I got off out of the car and I'm like, I need to throw up. Like I felt really sick. So I get out of the car and I throw up. And this is my husband's response. Very traumatic moment, you know. My husband goes, you good? I'm like, that's what you say to a stranger moving a couch that you don't want to help as you're zooming past them. Not your wife, who just had a baby soaked with COVID and is now medically soaked with COVID.
That's a medical. I love it. Like, he's like, you good? I mean, you want me to rub your back like that Instagram thing that you talk about all the time annoyingly? Is that what you want? I mean, you have a kid now. You had a kid during COVID.
Yes.
How's that with your ADD taking care of a kid? I mean, that's got to be tough.
There's so much more stuff. I think that's part of why I'm like, I've been doing stuff I haven't done in years with my ADD. Like, I, you know, you learn systems. You know, right? Like you learn these certain things. And even though it's always there and there's still like tons of stuff. I mean, I don't know. I'm projecting. You could tell me if I'm right. But like, you know, I still do these things every day, but it's certainly not as bad as it was when I was just like fired from every job immediately because of my, so it's like you learn these little things, but then I backtracked, you know, when I had a kid, because then it's like all her stuff and it's a lot, you know, so it's a lot to try to figure out. And if you don't sleep, I don't know if you feel like that, but I'm more likely to leave like an entire backpack at an airport.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I've been on like tour with these, you know, like opening for different comics, and you're like, I did this one tour, it was like in Europe, we went to like 12 countries. I think it was a Louis tour, because I did it's Schubert and the Louis tour right near each other, and I lost like a passport and like, yeah, I left like an entire backpack like in Israel and just left, you know what I mean, like with all my stuff. It also makes you not attached to stuff, because I just shed a coat for less. I'm like, oh yeah, that coat's on a plane to Minneapolis right now, that coat is gone.
Yeah, I just love that you do this with your kid, and you're like, you didn't feed it for 5 days, and you're just like, but I have ADD. Like, feel bad for me.
It's an excuse for everything. No, there's so much guilt. I'm just going to try not to do that, to just blame everything on my ADD. But it's bad. You know, I do.
Do you ever forget if you breastfed it or not? And you're like, I'll just put my tit in its mouth and see what happens.
You keep calling it. It's just like, it's so single. You're so single. Do you ever forget to feed it? Like, that's so far off what's on the table for you is like having a child that you're basically like that item that you feed. Do you forget to feed that item, that slab of skin? No, I don't.
Nikki just wrote me that I'm screaming. Nikki just gave me this. She goes, you're screaming. And now she's going to come in and take over the whole conversation.
It's so loud. He's literally talking like this.
I can't hear anything.
So take these off. Take one off so you have a little perspective. Rachel, I can't hear you, but I'm sure he can't either because he's ruined.
Can I put you in the caption now?
Tell her that made me miss her. I can't see you.
Tell her that made me miss her. And her in her robe, she looks so pretty.
She looks like Jacob.
I love you. Thank you. It's not Jacob. It's like, well, who's the Technicolor dream coat? You always say Jacob when I wear this. It's not Jacob. It's.
Why don't you just come in? Come on away in. You know what? Just come all the way in.
Wait, no, just... I can't because we don't have enough. Oh.
I know you have a bustling life there.
Just screaming.
Yeah, I mean, he always screams when he does these.
You know what? Can I just talk for a second, Nikki?
It's so much better.
Nikki, can I talk?
Because you telling a story and what Nikki's edits and comments would be, I could watch that all day. You saying anything about any experience you had with a woman or otherwise, and Nikki just stopping you. Just be like, let's back up a bit.
It happens in real life. It's not just on Instagram. Like, yeah. She analyzes everything I do to the point where,
It's not nice.
I talked to this girl the other day. I was like, hey, we were talking about getting COVID tests when we got off the plane, and they went really far in, and I just made it silly, like, whatever.
We were in line at TS, like, going through customs, and there were some really hot girls behind us, and I was just, like, aware that they were hot girls, and... Yeah. He just like sorry. And I was just like not, I was feeling insecure about it because I looked like shit and these girls looked like hot. And then Andrew, and I don't get like jealous that Andrew's talking to a hot girl. I'm not like, but
I know exactly what you mean. I know that moment where you're walking through an airport, you have plain face and you're not in the fucking mood to, get it. It's not about
Andrew. Rachel, I think you do relate because I think at one point, like, even like, don't you get jealous when you're with guy friends and they comment how hot some other girl is? And it's not
we've talked about that.
But you're just
That's when I realized I'm not a sexual being. Is like when I was having Soder and like Soder was writing on my thing with Giannis, and like all they would talk about was like hot girls, and they'd be like, it was a hot girl. They talk to me as if like there's this thing called a hot girl. I mean, you're a gangrenous slab. But yeah, and then you're just, it makes you feel like you're not even up for, I'm like,
she has me go through Bumble. And we go through Bumble and she's like, this guy is hot. This guy on Raya, this guy is great looking. He has no jaw. Why is it not the same?
Why are you not
because first of all, your puss levels are off the charts. You're swimming in puss, so you deserve a certain amount of mockery just for the puss levels alone, okay? For that reason.
You're still mad at the guy that sold guns. That's what's happening here.
Are you kidding? Like, I'm nothing but a cop.
She lost her virginity to a gun dealer.
Oh, I know all about her virginity. And then she went into that restaurant and waited for him and he never came in. Is that the story?
Yes. Oh, I love that you remember that. You're such a good friend.
I know all your stories. You have the best stories. Your life has, you have, I mean, I hate to even, all I do for Rachel, I set her up like a jukebox, a story jukebox, and I just like press the hits and I make her, anytime she's on a podcast with me, or like we did this thing for Bert Kreischer's Two Bears, One Cave or whatever, and I like just made her tell all these jokes and at one point, it was so funny, we were waiting for Jason Biggs to come in the room, like it was a Zoom that we were all waiting for Jason Biggs from American Pie to show up,
and
we're all just kind of like chit-chatting and we're not recording. And I make Rachel tell a joke. And in the middle, right before the punchline, Jason Biggs enters the room and everyone is like, Jason! And like, no one even acknowledges Rachel. It was just, I wrote her so many times, like, I'm so sorry. I'll never do that to you again. Like, it was just, but I can't help it. You're the funniest person I know.
She's so funny.
Have you heard about the guttural alcoholic?
No, what's that?
This was the hardest I've ever laughed in my life. And I'll never forget when she told the story. I was
let her tell it
keeled over. But I just want to say that
tell me because I don't always remember it. So it's no, like, set it up.
The way she told it, I remember details of it that when she retells it, I'm like, wait a second, you got it. The leering at the thing, like you have to tell all the little hits of it. Because I'll never forget when I first heard the story. So Rachel, talk about how you first met this gentleman.
Okay, and then correct me if I'm forgetting, but okay, sure. My life, speaking of, yeah, like I was at Stand Up New York with Marina Franklin, and she said she found this guy in the street that my type is sort of, I like sort of guys that look like they would beat me but wouldn't, you know, like kind of like a little very alpha, you know, like she's like, this guy looks like Paul Newman. Paul Newman's my favorite, okay?
Oh, yeah. And that, I mean, the dressing guy?
Yeah.
Yes, I don't like any irony in my men. I just, also, they need to be larger than me. I'm not a small person. I'm not, you know, I need a guy that I feel kind of like around. So they have to be very large. So she's like, Paul Newman, this guy looks like Paul Newman. He was like red face drunk, like just like vibrating with alcoholism. You know, when you're so drunk, you're sort of wet in a way, like he was.
You're not sweaty, wet. But it looks like someone poured something on. Yeah.
Yes, he was wet on a very dry day. You know, he was just, and she brought him instead up New York. And immediately I was just like, every red flag is here. I was in. And then, so he sits at the bar where he's talking to us, like bloodshot blue eyes. He's a little dusty, like he's come from work. I'm like, this works for me. Speaking of work. And so he tells us that he just got home from a war in Iraq. And of course, now I'm like, this is perfect. This is what I want. Like, I want a guy with PTSD that I can fix and save. You
I love
know?
That she said a war. Like, he said a war. Like, it was a one war, of many. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But that actually, that's a good point because that comes back to haunt us, my friend. So he says, so he's very vague about his position in the war and stuff, but I don't mind. I've already very, like, I've downloaded this and I'm like actively aroused by it. So he's like, yeah, just pulsing with alcoholism. I mean, and he's the kind of alcoholic that has three sections on the bar, like the money, the tip money, the this money. He bats away from his controlling alcoholic sections. You know, like he had a system, a very, like, that should always tip you off. If a guy's sitting at a bar and they have like three piles, I mean, he's going to die of cirrhosis of the liver, like, very soon. If they have organized piles with control issues around them at a bar, you're done.
Yes.
Like the lime and lemon are on the napkin kind of thing?
Yeah. Do you know what
I'm talking
about?
And then he has one glass with just ice in it, and then he has a glass with just liquor, and then he'll put the ice into the liquor depending on what amount of ice per liquor. Yeah,
he has a system, a calculated system that he's so blackout drunk, but he still has a meticulousness to his addiction. Yeah.
Yes, totally. And so he was like, he said that he had just gotten back from the war, and I thought that was so hot. So I was like, I was like, you know, thank you for your service. And I like brought him downtown, such a dick. And I brought him downtown to some party. It was like Leah McEnany's party or something. And we got him all, like, we just gave him a bunch of shots and told everybody he was a hero or whatever. And then I went back to his house and like cuddled with him that night and he fell asleep.
Wait, can we for a second, the cuddling. I'm fascinated by this about you because you would just cuddle with, how does that go? You would just cuddle with men the first night, always. You're not someone who would sleep with a guy.
Right, no, right, I because it's my own insecurity because I would get attached. I would never, I don't have that level of like confidence.
And because of the first time you had sex.
And because of that, yeah.
But
yeah.
Do you kiss and then like he feels your tits and then you go, hey, let's just lay down. Question. Like, is there anything happening?
Yeah, no, of course. No man would ever sign any sort of papers for that. I mean, like mental paper, hypothetical papers. If you just cuddle and that's it, like just kissing. No, that's like truly deranged. That's like freshly abused levels of control. No, it's not that. We make out and there's like the general thing.
Things get going and then you go, hey, just cuddle me with your hard cock and then never talk to me again.
Yeah, I mean, I tell them ahead of time. I'm like, listen, I have a joke about this where I say it on stage, but I say like, if I was your sexual attorney, I would recommend you don't take this deal. Like, it's not a good deal for you. You're going to go home.
But this guy's so drunk. Like, he doesn't
hard
know.
And angry. Yeah, he was too drunk to even want to perform in any way. I mean, he would be drunk where he would just, like, one day I came home because I moved in with him, obviously.
Wait. This really jumped. This is unbelievable.
I know. So the second day, I jumped over important things. So then the next time we saw each other, he came to my show. And first of all, before I bombed like wild bomb, like where it affects your depth perception and you have trouble like getting out of the room, you know, early on where you're like, and he laughed and just didn't seem to notice. Like it was a humiliating emergency type of situation. Like I was sweating, melting down. So then I get off and he doesn't notice. And I think, again, it's because he's so drunk. I don't know. He thinks he's like in Arizona. He's in the West Village. Like, it's not good. So we go to the bar after. And he's like, I have something to tell you. And I'm like, what? And he says, I was never in the war in Iraq. I was drunk. And I thought that you might find that attractive, but I really admire soldiers or something. And
second date.
Yeah, second date.
He comes clean.
Comes clean. And then I was like,
Didn't
but the limp.
Limp?
Yes. I said, but you were limping, like, because you said there was like a
shaft like metal?
Yes. I said, you had a limp. You think, yeah, the limp's not. I don't, basically. I don't have a limp.
Guys are so shaming you.
Yes, he had developed to let, and he was like, no, that's not, yeah, it wasn't. And he said he did his biggest regret. We had a fight about this later on when we were together, because he said his biggest regret was not going to war and not being in the military. And I was like, you deserve to be with somebody that doesn't find that hilarious. that was his biggest regret in all of life. And not to mention, he could have done it. Like, if he'd want, I mean, there was many years that he.
Well, what did he do for a living, for real, though?
He was a construction worker. He was a foreman. He like ran a construction site, and he would come home like dusty with like a tool belt, and like, you know, he was just very, you know, he would come home really jacked and just chain smoke at his desk, and he'd chain smoke Marlboros, and he would play this game about being a fighter pilot, because that was his whole life, was just wishing that he was a fighter pilot and pretending to be a fighter pilot on one of those interactive games, you know, like where they're able to like,
yeah, like Fortnite or something. Yeah.
Yes. And he had like his rudder pedals, and he had his, he would call it flying. He'd be like, babe, I gotta fly tonight. I remember it was a huge night because.
Did you have your passport?
No, I definitely lost. Oh, my passport was long gone. And he was like, it was like Obama was being elected. It was like a really exciting night in New York. And I'm like, let's go out. He's like, I'm flying tonight, babe. I got a major battle.
Did he put on like a flying jacket and stuff?
Yes. And when I tried to drag him to therapy, he said one of his issues that he said, instead of just like, you need to quit drinking, you had no place in therapy. It was just like, it was literally just like a Heineken showing up for couples therapy. And the therapist was like, what do you know, you haven't gotten to talk enough, Chris. What are your resentments? And his resentment towards me was that mainly that he felt I didn't support his flying. I didn't ask about his battles and how things went. And I didn't ever remember that Monday nights he always flies. And why would I be able to go out? Why would he be able to go out on Monday night? So he felt very hurt that also I didn't ask about how he felt after the battles, because a lot of times he loses friends.
Right.
In his battles. That's what he thought. And when he would come on the road with me, he
did
would
you
meet
ever
up for other guys.
Would, like, help him and be like, oh, you're back from the flying. Oh, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so I would do it all the time. Yeah, I gave him a book, and it was like I didn't tell you that. I put a little inscription in the book as if he was off at war, and it was like the 40s, you know? I mean, I was more mocking him than role-playing, but I was just like, yeah. Darling, be safe out there. Like, I'll miss you, something awful.
I'm just confused, Rachel, as to, like, what you were getting out of this relationship. Was, like, the sex good? Was you were living in a place where a guy's chain-smoked Marlboros? Did all of your clothes smell like, were you just, like, what was the situation like there? And how long were you living there? Like, I don't understand.
This is how insecure I was. These are really good questions. Like, the fact that he had an apartment, I was like, this guy is an adult. Yeah. Like, he's amazing. He's above me, even though I was like constantly exhausted by his drunkenness and all kinds of incidents that it caused. I was like, he has a home that he wants me to, like, you know, live in. So that enough. With any man that had a job regularly when I first moved to New York, I would really I would thank them for their service. Like, they were heroes in my mind. If you had a job, I was like, you're an adult. Like, I couldn't have a job. Yeah. I just squatted in weird people's apartments.
What was the age gap here?
What's that?
What was the age gap?
He was probably like 5 years older than me. I was like maybe 24. He was probably 29, 30, maybe, yeah, something like that. So the fact that he had an apartment, I thought was so impressive. Like, an apartment that was organized.
I mean, it is, actually, for him.
And he a flight simulator.
He was one of those alcoholics that, you know, he
could, organized.
No issue. Yeah, no issue during his day at work. But after that, I mean, it was some scary stuff.
Would he drink during the day, do you think? Or was it only starting?
No, I don't think so. He drank after work and then until he felt that click. And I would like meet him at like a Port Authority bar or something. And he was very hot. So it was like physically, like he was like really exceptional, but inaccessible to me. So that was also attractive because he was gone. I mean, he lived, you know, his girlfriend was just a Corona or like a Coors Light or something. Like he didn't
when
know.
When he would fly on Monday night, would he drink?
What's that?
Would he drink when he flew?
Of course, yeah.
Okay. I thought maybe he would keep it sober for...
He was drinking when he was flying. I mean, he wasn't exactly smash every night. Like he wasn't smash every night, but like he would have a beer as soon as he got home from work. And then it would be like towards the end of the week, it would be like 16 or whatever beers. But I would come home sometimes and he would deny that he had drank. One time I came home and he was sitting on the edge of the bed, like again, just bloodshot red eyes, red blue eyes. And then I walk in, he's sitting on the edge of his bed in nothing but like a Hawaiian top, right? Just like some summer top. It was probably like the middle of winter, button down. And no underwear, nothing. Balls, dick, just a Hawaiian shirt, just sitting on the edge of the bed, just kind of glaring. And I walk in, and I'm like, oh, hey, Chris, what's going on there? And he's like, nothing. I know what you're going to say. You accuse me of being drunk. This is what you do. You find a fucking problem, but I'm not fucking doing it with you. I'm not fucking drunk. So you can, really? I'm not going to fucking fall for your little reindeer games. And he just slowly fell off the couch. Fell face first on the carpet, just so you could hear the bang on the dresser.
And his balls and ass are just showing.
I could just see his inner ass was all I saw. And a little Magnum PI top.
He probably lost a lot of good men that day.
Oh, yeah. And I forgot, before all that, he said to me, when I first walked in, he goes, aloha, babe. And when I came up to him like this, he was like, oh, okay, I get it. She wants to fight. That's what she wants. She wants a fucking fight.
I mean, I kind of see his point there. He wanted to have a good time, you know, have a luau, and you come in with your annoying, like, oh, I can't believe you're drunk, and he's ready to party, dude.
Was he, like, a supportive boyfriend? Would he, like, ask you about your, like, life? Would he, like, go to your shows? Like,
He was sweet. Yeah, he was sweet. I mean, in my mind also, I liked the fact that he had, so when we first met, he told me this terrible lie, right? So, and then when he tells me the lie, it put him in this position of trying to win my affection back, which was really exciting for me.
Yes. And when they've done something wrong and then.
Yes. And he has to win me back.
Like earning your love again.
Mm-hmm. And that was fun because I always want to be courted like that. I'm never with men that actually court me. Like, you know, like I'm never with that guy that's kind of even pursuing while he's with her. There are always those husbands that are just always trying to gain their wife's attention. And I never had that kind of relationship. So I was obviously, when he told me he wasn't in the war in Iraq, I was very concerned. And it was a little embarrassing because Marina heard him say that too. So now all these comics I'd introduced him to as if he was fresh from a war. So we were in just an annoying situation.
Did you keep up the lie so they didn't make fun of you?
No, I told him the truth, but I said, I don't know what excuse I made for him, just already beginning as a classic enabler, you know? Like,
yeah.
And so then I was like, I can't be with this guy. Like, this is too embarrassing, mainly. But then he would show up in my apartment with like flowers. And it was like very much like, you know, like on the waterfront type shit. Like, is that even the right movie? But the other one with Marlon Brando. But anyway, he would be outside of my apartment, you know, like when he's like Stella or whatever. Yeah. It would be like that, you know,
except with a boombox and shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was
like, how did it end? Like, eventually, like, what was like the final straw that broke the pilot's back?
Well, first, let me just say this. Okay, so he would stand outside my apartment screaming my name, like, Rachel, you know, and then I'd finally come down, like, fine, Chris. And he's all dusty and fresh from his construction job, you know, and he would apologize and then say, let's go for a drink. And then we would get drunk and make out, you know. And so then I got evicted because I was living with this guy who was pretending to pay rent, but taking my money. So then I was suddenly evicted. And by the way, The guy I was living with, he would just make a lot. I should have known. He was home all day. He didn't seem to go to any job. All he did was make these. He was like 60 and he made a lot of anti-Bush collages, like Bush, Cheney, and his henchmen. And every day he was paper macheing like anti-Bush collages. I'm like, yeah, Bush is an idiot, but let's do it. Like, he's not the reason you're like unemployed at like 60, you know? He was always just Bush collaging, and he would get, he was one of those guys that got overly dressed for Halloween, like red flag, just pumped about Halloween.
Find him on Craigslist?
Yes, and he went as Bush, Haney, and his henchmen in Halloween or something like that. So
night at Halloween. Back to red flag, anyone who like gets too into Halloween, red flag.
Yes, it's such a red flag. Another guy I dated wanted, like he dressed as like a 40s guy and he had a pocket watch in Halloween. It was so disgusting. Once I saw that pocket watch, I was like, yeah, I can't. I'm flaccid.
Where there's like weeks planning a costume and then and they never get the attention they want for the costume. Like it doesn't really resonate with people. They think they're going to win some kind of.
My brother does that because he's a finance guy. So he doesn't do anything creative like all year. And then Halloween, he'll put in colored contacts and be like, it's Marilyn Manson.
Oh, God, it's so sad. I get it, though.
But he kills it. Yeah, he does. They just don't get to get that out.
Yeah,
we get it out.
Mm-hmm. Thank God for Halloween for those people who, like, don't allow themselves to release their feelings in an artistic way. Yeah. But it's
exactly. And then they talk about it like it was a big occasion, you know, like when I dressed as a 1940s
Yeah, it's like their avatar on Twitter. Like, it's their only thing that they'll, like, put out there of themselves.
But you essentially dated a guy that every Monday night was doing Halloween. Exactly. Like every Monday, he's like, I'm a pilot. I'm a fighter pilot. Like it's wild to me.
Yeah, you're right. It was two Halloween scenarios. So then when I left, it was like,
his alcoholism led to him doing some weird stuff, right?
Okay, yeah, so then thank you, Nikki, I love you.
But he hasn't done anything weird yet.
I mean, like, it got weird.
No, so then, yeah, I mean, at the beginning it was fun and, like, you know, and I was very attracted to him. I wouldn't say it was great sex. He didn't bring a lot to the table, but he was, you know, but I was really attracted to him. And he was a little jealous, which I thought was very flattering at the time, you know? Yeah. And so, and the fact that he wanted me to live with him, this mess that's teeming with AD, I'm like, he wants me to live in his organized home. So anyway, then we would go out together, and that's where things got a little dicey, because Chris would usually start glaring when he was drunk, and then he would just sort of choose somebody that kind of like, and you kind of look at like that. And I remember, like, I was collecting money because one of my friends was like, her sister was sick, or she was like, had like, I was collecting disease money for her sister. Okay, so I had like an envelope, and other comics were like helping and things like that. I was like, I have this friend, her sister has this thing. So I'm at this party and this is going on, and my brother was like, I think you have to come back, because I left a dinner and I went over to this party to get some money for my friend. And he was like, I think you had to come back, like, Chris is glaring, like, he's glaring pretty hard at me, and he's having like a face off with my brother, who's just like a gentle, lovely social worker, you know, who's just there to like have dinner with her sister. That's right, it was my birthday, and it was my birthday dinner. But that's what he would do. He would just start glaring and he'd be like, come on. And just think somebody was picking a fight with him that was not occurring, you know, like, so he was basically, he accused my brother of, I think he said something about, like, he was trying to brag to him about his jiu-jitsu or something. And he was saying that my brother was trying to say he outranked him. And my brother was literally like, I didn't even talk to him about that. You know, like, I don't know, that he was having an imaginary argument with my brother and a glare off. And he would do that a lot, where he would just start, you know, hostily glaring. Yeah, and it was always on a night after he felt he lost another.
I used to do that.
Just like these guys get wasted and you have to like,
I would
stand in their eye line so that they don't create they want to fight so bad.
Yes, because
that's another
fight.
Thing is the Halloween thing is one thing where guys don't get out their expression. And so like when guys get drunk, they have all this anger that they need to get out. So they are dying for a fight. They are glaring at people to start something so that they can beat someone's up because they are so mad at their dad for, you know, leaving their mom.
I would do it in college. Like my girlfriend in college, she'd be on the other side of the bar and I would get so fucked up that I would just and I could only imagine what I look like, you know? And then I'm like, and then the next day I'd be like, what a bitch.
You would glare at people?
Oh, I would be glaring and I'd be like, My arm would get loose. I would just turn into like a, I don't know, just, and I would just, and then any guy that would talk to her, I thought she was fucking him, and then they had a whole relationship.
That's what he would do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was bad.
That's interesting. That you're an easygoing guy that I couldn't picture doing that, but I feel like those are the glares. Those are the drunk glares, because they always act like the emo easy guy and go in the room, but then when they're drunk, that's when they start, yeah, like that's when they battle everything out. So he like, he would do that. He would choose some enemy, and it would always be like, I mean, sometimes he was such a drunk that sometimes it'd be like an elder woman, like drinking alone. Like, be like, there was this woman at the Port Authority bar. And I was like, Enos is not trying to start a fight with you. She's not an MMA fighter that wants to, like, I'm like, she's a divorced widow, you know, or whatever, maybe just a widow.
Bragging
she's
about like doing bridge. Widow.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, she's better than me.
Fresh from a bridge game. Exactly. She's not, you don't need to have, you don't have any beef with her. It's not possible. Because he'd always say that I didn't defend him in therapy. He would say, like, she doesn't have my back. And I'm like, because these are imaginary scenarios. Like, there's nothing that Enos, an elderly widow, has done to you. There's no beef that needs to be squashed where I don't have your back. She doesn't know you. You're across the Port Authority bar from her, and you need to leave her alone.
Why were you drinking at the Port Authority bar?
Because they would have to commute to his place, right?
Yes. So we would go. So we would have to get on this bus. It was like this jitney bus that would go to his home, which was like across. It was like an what is it called? There's a name for it, but it's like you go through this bus. I think it's Old New York or something like that. I can't remember where I lived, but it's near. It's like you, there's a little bus that goes there every night, and we would have to catch that bus, that little jitney bus, right? And it's right over the bridge. And so I would go wait with him in the bus, and he'd be like just rocking with, you know, alcoholism. But and that was the night where he was like rocking, just vibrating drunk at that hour.
Dude,
and
I then, literally thought this guy had a brownstone in like the West Village this whole time, and like you're like he has his own place, and it's like oh no,
you have an apartment and like. West New York, that's what it's called, West New York. Yeah, it's like.
You had to get on the bus for, like.
I know, but I had to get on a bus for. But to me, still, I believed any man that paid, like, rent, like, on time. Or, you know, just, it was, like, so impressive to me.
And I really, what I mean? Rachel, I hear you when you say that he was organized. And, like, let's put the alcoholism and the fake war and the fake limp and the flight simulator aside. When you're someone who is disorganized and messy as a woman, you put people who are organized on this pedestal that they can do anything else wrong. They have it all together, because that is something that we have such shame about, that you see someone organized, they have it all together then. Yeah. And we excuse everything else, and they're better than us.
They're better too, than us. Yeah, that's what sure. I felt like. I was like, and that's what he would yell at me about, my messiness or whatever in the apartment. And I was like, and I was just fascinated by how he could just keep surfaces clean and, you know, like, and he had systems for, and he didn't lose, like, things, you know, I mean, even his alcoholism, and he would make it to work every day, you know, so, but we would go and get on this bus, and we would sit outside and wait for the bus, and he was usually kind of starting to glare and rock, and things were getting a little troubling, and sometimes it got to a point where he would then become suspicious of the bus itself and not get on it, and so it's like, there's nothing more tiring than being, like, 2 a.m. with a fucking strong alcoholic trying to get him home. And once you get him to leave the bar, then he would become suspicious of the bus itself.
Like he was glaring at the bus?
Glaring at the bus. And there was one time where he wouldn't get on it. I was like, please, Chris, please.
What was wrong with the bus? What did he think was up with the bus?
Wait, do the impression of it.
He'd be like, I'm just saying, right? You're Miss Avoid Conflict at all costs. Yeah, God forbid you confront anybody about anything or have your man's back. You're telling me that wasn't weird the way he pulled up so fast? You're telling me it wasn't fucking weird? Okay, Rachel, live in your fucking lie. Go ahead. You're not fucking doing it tonight.
Oh, my
God. I know what you're going to do. You're just going to get on. Look, it zooms up like that. It's strange, Rachel. It's strange. There was a lot of gaslighting. It's like he was trying to convince me that I was the strange one when he was having an argument with Cole that he was suspicious of.
God. And then I so want you to like, get to the point.
That was any night with him. And then one night he fight with the.
Oh, sorry, we're cutting up, so I talked over you. Continue.
Is it working now?
Oh, I can hear you.
Okay.
All right. It's delayed, sorry.
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, cool.
No, that's okay, I can hear you.
All right, now we're good. No, what were you saying, though?
What were you saying, Nikki?
It's delayed. Oh. It's like you're getting the things I'm saying so, 10 seconds later. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Fuck.
I know. It was going really good for a while. And then now she's gone. So that was Rachel Feinstein. Rachel Feinstein. So we're back. We had a little bit of technical difficulties. I blame Cayman Islands. Apparently the guy holding up the four coconuts and the hanger caused a, you know, he wasn't tall enough. We got the taller guy and seven coconuts now. So the Wi-Fi works. Rachel, you're back. We were talking about your alcoholic firefighter. Oh, no, not firefighter. That was later. I mean, your fighter pilot. And
yeah.
And so, yeah. So I don't know how far we got. I think we were like 4/5 through the relationship. But like kind of how did it wrap up finally, I guess?
There were a few more incidents. Hold on. I'm just going to close my drawer, my door. So there was a few more incidents of him doing some glaring at different people, glaring at a lot of my, he had the face off. I think we ended with around the time of the face off that he had with my elderly aunt, where he was kind of glaring at her and accusing her of some things, just the elder widow. So that was obviously a problem for my family, who kind of, I was getting gently taken aside a lot. Then we ended around that time, the time that he would get suspicious of cars. He was starting to,
And buses.
And he was kind of doing like flexing and sort of like trying. This is what I was going to tell you. So he then, when I would come on the road with me, and we would have to meet up with other people from this game, which is called Aces High. And then we would go to air shows in Indiana. And then after the air show, they would get real lit over at Beaker and Badger's house in Indiana, where we had to stay, by the way. He said we were going to like go on a vacation for a few days after the road, but it was just Beaker's house, which was one of the most disgusting places I've ever been. It was like sleeping inside of a dog. Like we slept in a dog's stomach. Beaker had like 5 Dobermans. And by the way, he had a swastika on his screen, his home screen. Yeah. And I was like, that's a swastika. And Chris was like, swastika has a lot of different meanings. And I'm like, I don't think it does. I don't really think it does. There was a swastika.
You can't use that argument when people only know one meaning. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, burning a cross has a ton of meanings. You just have to look into it. It's like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And also, I don't really want to know. I don't want to be lectured by Beaker about the other meanings of a swastika and why he became so attached to that particular symbol that he needed to let me know what it once meant, like in Japanese geometry or some
shit.
Wouldn't
it be funny if his, like, really, if his excuse was, he's like, but East drew it. Like, like, it's like up on the refrigerator. It's like, it was a drawing from my niece. And it's like, oh, okay. Oh, so she just, that just came to her.
Yeah, exactly. It's not good. It's not a good look for anybody. I mean,
it sounds like you were getting a wealth of material from this relationship.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So that could keep you in it because you're like, this guy is a walking joke. So I have so much like going, you know, I don't know.
I mean, no. I mean, obviously, listen, like I leapt to all these new situations. Like I followed him with glee sometimes because I was just like, that's my guy. But let's remember I was 24. So I was a 24-year-old moron who
and
thought that
point
I could
would you
like,
fuck him and be like, I'm fucking Tom Cruise from Top Gun, kind of.
Yeah, it was like a, it was definitely, the flying actually, no, it didn't, the flying didn't turn me on because it was not real. He didn't fly and he didn't like it when I brought that up. And he would say he did. And I would just say again, no, you don't. He said, babe, I'm flying Monday. You know, I can't go. You know, I can't do it. I got a flight. Then,
babe, when
then
the aviators
when
get
the on, last,
when the aviators are on, you know, daddy's got to fly.
Daddy's got to fly. One of the last straws for me was that we got together with some of the other people from Aces High in Indiana. And, after we slept inside of Beaker's dog, in his swastika pad. There was like a chain link fence after that said, outside of Beaker's place, that said, "I shoot before I think." One of my favorite sayings. I think it was Deepak Chopra that first said that? "I shoot before I think." "Be careful, tread lightly," or something. "I shoot before I think." So that was our vacation. And during vacation, I kind of started to pull away a little. So
a little.
Just I was pulling back a little bit, starting to have a couple questions. After my show, they were talking about a battle they had been in, crying. Beaker and Badger, other guys in Aces High group, both started crying and kind of holding each other and complimenting each other's bravery. And I just whispered, "There was no battle. It never occurred." I couldn't stop myself. I was like, "Beaker, that you weren't there. You weren't in that Vietnamese village. You simply weren't there. It's really just that simple." I tried to get him. They were weeping about the battles and consoling each other about the choices they felt they made, and they did all they could. I mean, it was like full, like there was no mention of a game or anything about a game. It was just war reminiscing and holding each other and drinking.
So it kind of went full circle in a way. And so then you kind of learned why your boyfriend lied to you initially, because he had other people that he could lie to and like pretend to live in this world.
You're right. Believed he was in battle, you know. I mean, he definitely did on some level, on all levels. I don't know about the limp, though. The limp is kind of a separate story. But
I think he did.
Well, I have to say, I don't really know.
I think he might have just saw Wedding Crashers. You know, in Wedding Crashers, they're like, "Oh, we lost a lot of good men." And they're like, "When you played for the Yankees?"
Yes.
Like, no, in war. Like, maybe he, like, or like, I think what's his name might have been big back then, like peacocking. Like, that was his idea of peacocking, was to have a limp, you know? I don't know.
Yes, yes, yes. No, that makes sense. That actually
worked.
Helped to organize it for me.
It worked. Like, we laughed at him. Then I dated him for 7 years.
I know, exactly. Like, I clearly, the last laugh is placed squarely on my own lap for moving in with them after I had every piece of information I needed to run to the fucking hills. But then, yeah, so that happened. That was towards the end, that battle. And then, what was the other final straw? That's right. I came home another day, and well, he had said he hadn't drank in a few days, but I found a lot of airport sized liquor bottles in the trash, and I asked him about it, and he turned around bright red and he was like, "My fucking friend died last night." And he was talking about his friend on the game.
No.
And I used to get on the game. He's like, "One ounce of compassion, 1 ounce of fucking compassion. I ask of you.
In fairness, they were airplane bottles, you know, like at least that was real.
He had them wrapped up in little toilet paper. I remember just like unraveling them slowly off the top of the trash. He's like, what? "Go ahead. You love a fight, don't you?" So then I used to get on the game sometimes with my headset, and my name was Jew Down in the game. And I was, you know, worthless, but I would talk a lot of trash immediately. I would get on and be like, "You guys ready to fucking weep, you little bitches? Oh, you want to suck me off, huh? Well, yeah, because I want to get sucked off. Watch you fucking drown in the skies. You don't know what the fuck you're doing. Why? Because you can't ride the fucking clouds. You're losers. You're frightened little bitches." And then I'd be like, "It's you down." And then I would immediately crash in the game, and there'd be loud sound effects, and I would pretty much explode within moments of telling them that they were all going down. But a lot of the guys liked you now. They would ask for you now.
I think that's when Beaker decided to put the Nazi symbol.
You're right. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe I made him an anti-Semitic because I went on.
Yeah, because he talked so much shit to him. He's like, "I don't hate all Jews. I hate one Jew," and she you down on. And she says,
I did thank them for their service when I would get on. I would say, boys, first of all, I'm realizing how big my forehead is. God, Zoom is so bad. I was like, boys, I just want to thank you for your service and for everything you do. I would always say that to them. And the guys did like that part. I would start by kind of kissing their ass a little bit. And sometimes I went on as Sugar Tits. I had two names, Chew Down and Sugar Tits. Chris didn't like that either, though. He didn't like it when I mocked the game. But some of the other guys had some fun with me. But the point was, I was in grave danger. He was a guttural alcoholic. He eventually picked a fight with some guy was like arguing with a guy at a hot dog stand by the Port Authority on 42nd and 8th. You know, that little area right outside there. It's real sexy kind of place to be around 2 a.m. And so there was a guy arguing with some guy who was packing up his hot dog stand. And Chris thought he would jump in between the two arguing. I think the guy that was bothering the hot dog stand was like a dick, but it's hard to tell because they were arguing another language. And so Chris jumped in between them and then the guy broke his jaw. So that was one of the last moments that, then that was a tough night. And then after he broke his jaw, he was a little less attractive. In a way, it made him like, oh, maybe he'll stay even longer now. But then I was like, but wait, do I want him to stay? Because
how many times would you look at your account balance? Like, you would roll over and you would look at your checking account and then you would go, 600, I can't afford rent yet. And then you roll back around and you're like, I love you, baby. like how many times did that play into, it had to play into a factor of you being.
Well, I did move in because I was evicted, but I was paying my rent. The guy just wasn't putting it in. I lived with that elderly man that was stealing from me. I mean, but no, of course, it wasn't as much the rent as it was a home. Like, I didn't know how to organize a home at the time. You know, like I don't now, clearly. Why do you think I keep moving the angles so that you don't see all the debris all around me? But like,
when he broke his jaw, though, was he like, did he finally realize like he's been playing a game as well? Like, I feel like he lived in this game world, right? And then he thought he could just talk shit to everyone. And then this guy breaks his jaw and he's like, oh, this is real. Not like good. Real life,
yeah.
Like you really get hurt. Like, I don't know. It's wild.
Well, I mean, didn't it seem to be a wake up call for him. Anyway, but, I remember I had to go do this gig in Korea right after I was like, you know, I suggested that he might want to go to like a meeting or something like that. And it might have a problem. And he said no because he was always at work on time. So, and that was like, I mean, his jaw was like fully bandaged while he was saying that. He's like, I've never been late for work. I've never been late for work. He was like, that's your problem. You're late, which I was. But that was kind of had nothing to do with, you know, guttural alcoholism, which is a clinical diagnosis, a guttural alcohol.
Yeah, guttural. I didn't even hear that word until now. I love that word.
It doesn't make any sense. But I like to just miss reapply words that are meant for different things. But those were some tough episodes. But ultimately, that was it. I think that was one of the last straws. Yeah, then I went to Korea. I remember like doing this military tour, which of course upset him because he wanted to be in the military. So he was very jealous in general, but then really jealous that I was doing a US military tour in Korea. And he sent me flowers in Korea because he was like, I think he was apologizing. I've got a lot of these stories mixed up, but I think that was around that last night when he claimed he wasn't drinking. And then I came home and he was wearing, had balls, dick out, and just a Hawaiian tea.
Oh, t-shirt that was about then. Yeah, you told me that.
I get everything mixed up.
So eventually you just walked out. You were just like, okay, I'm done. Like
I gave him like an ultimatum. I was just like, he used to watch this movie about, he really loved movies about like really big guys and like tiny girls having, you know, that movie about The Rock adopting a little girl. He thought that was the funniest thing ever. Like when a big man had to spend time with a little baby, like you do the math, you know, he liked the dumbest movies. He liked that movie. He'd watch it again and again. I'm like, I don't want to watch the fucking movie about The Rock and his like niece and his relationship with his niece again. It's not funny. He's like, come on, babe. You're fucking bitter. And I'm like, it's not, I'm 24. I'm not bitter yet. I just don't want to. Of what? Also, what would I be bitter of? I'm not jealous of The Rock. We don't really have, he's not really what I'm trying to be, you know, like I wouldn't have a natural, but he really loved to watch that movie. Like, come on, babe. This is funny right here.
It's a lot of stuff you do. You make it way too complicated. He goes, you got this really big guy and this tiny girl. He doesn't know what to do with the little girl things and pick them up and stuff like that. He's holding them all big. He kept re-explaining, re-pitching the irony of that movie to me. And we were having a particularly bad night. He liked that movie, and he also loved movies when houses are supposed to work, but don't, you know, like when somebody buys a big house and things fall apart slowly. He loved movies about like with plumbing problems in them and stuff, because he was because he was a foreman. He was a carpenter. So he'd be like, come on, they get that toilet. It looks like a perfect bathroom, right? And then the toilet just blows up, blows the fuck up on the guy. Come on. He would always do that to me. I'm like, yes, that's what occurred. Come on. You're overthinking. You think too much. It's great. You don't know, that's what you should be doing up there.
And then you put on like Shawshank Redemption. He's like, not believable. It's not that good. Not that good. Yeah. I've seen better. Oh, let's put on that one with the sink talks.
I remember I was reading Anna Karenina, right? And I don't read very much, okay? But I used to. I stopped reading now. Like, it's because I'm always on my phone. But I used to like to read a lot. And I remember being next to him once reading that. And he goes, you know, I hear that book's like, it's not very good. I'm like, what would you have heard about Anna Karenina? He's like, it's all hype. I'm like, there's no, first of all, she dies in the train. There's no hype. But again, why am I engaging in this argument? I engage with him in an argument about whether Anna Karenina was all hype.
You were alone in old New York. Like, what else are you going to do? And that was like before Clubhouse.
Yes, you're right.
You had exactly. You had to talk to him, or you just sit in silence. Like, and in a way, you probably enjoyed the argument in a weird way. Like, even.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was fun to trash him because, I mean, the things he was saying were so profoundly dumb. It was very fun to trash him.
So you finally gave an ultimatum and you were just like, look, either stop drinking and glaring or I'm leaving.
Yes, exactly. And then he said, he basically told me, I mean, I was surprised about how straightforward he was. He said, no, he doesn't want to go to any of those meetings. He doesn't think they're going to be for him and doesn't think they would have anything to offer him. And that he said, Badger, I was explaining that what a sponsor was, but again, you can't try to, this is all like, he doesn't want to do this. I don't know anything about AA that they have to come to it themselves. He said Badger was like a sponsor in his life. And I'm like, Badger is like soaked with alcohol. Badger was like a bigger alcoholic than he was. He was like, I mean, he was like blacked out. I guess
in a way he could like compare him. He's like, look, I'm not as bad as Badger.
Yes, like, you're right. That's what he would do. Yeah. He would say, because Badger would be like, he would be like, you know how alcoholics have that look on their face all the time? Like they know they have to apologize, but they don't know what for yet. You know, like they just kind of, Badger would always have that look. Like he was about to say, I'm sorry for something he did the night before, but he had no idea. Like he knew he could have assaulted, you know, a cocktail of people.
It probably could have helped if he changed his name. I feel like,
you know, Badger was tough. Yeah.
I mean, I feel that's a nickname, I assume, unless that's his real name and his dad. It's like a boy named Sue, you know, a boy named Badger. Like you have to live up to like the word Badger. You know, like, the problem with nicknames is, like, that's you. That's who you are. You're fucking Badger. And Badger doesn't drink, like, green tea and do intermittent fasting. That's not what a Badger does, you know?
That's really funny, actually. That's hilarious. You should say that on stage because you're so right. Yeah, that's it. You can be Badger and then you're right. You do intermittent fasting and meditate. You can't. What's that meditation app? I can't remember. I want that word or whatever. So bad right now.
You just Badger.
Insight timer. You can't be an insight timer if your name's Badger. It's not gonna work. You're just not naturally gonna look to download that. You'll be downloading Aces High. But anyway,
I'm not Badger anymore, guys. I'm Tim. Can I sit you guys down for a second? So you know how you guys love, like, when I'm Badger? Like, I just love like, he has the intervention. It's like a reverse on his friends to have him stop calling him that.
So funny.
Oh, my God. I'm just so happy the Wi-Fi worked for 9 minutes or whatever.
I know. We did it. Yeah, and in the end, I just told him, I was like, you might have a problem. He said, Badger was a sponsor enough. And then he walked me to that little bus, that little sad bus in West New York or whatever.
And I moved in with my friend. We got a place together. And that was that. I think I left my stuff there like a weird amount of time because I didn't know anybody with a car. But he was, you know, we exchanged a few pleasant texts after that. But no, he was pretty much, wasn't going to be an option for him. He felt he was headed in the right direction. So that was that.
Do you know where he ended up? Do you know where
he just had a different jaw when I left? I don't know. I have to ask because, like, he's not on any social media because I like to look up everybody I've been with just, you know, to make sure things didn't work out for them. No, actually, I would actually wish him well because he wasn't like, he was just had a problem, you know. But,
yeah.
We weren't matched even separate from his guttural alcoholism. Like, there was no reason. I mean, we had nothing we had no place being with each other. But, I don't know because he's not on social media, but my friend at the time ran a football pool and I know him and his brother are still in it. So I sometimes ask him about Chris and he's like, I don't know. Cause they're just two dudes. So they don't ask anything, you know what I mean? But I'm like, any information, like I would love to know, you know,
they got a new Corvette.
It's like, yeah, if it was like two women, we would like find a way to find out something, but guys don't even know how to do that. I'm like, you email with them about the football pool all the time. He's like, yeah, what am I going to say? Like, you know, they don't discuss anything. So, but I am going to ask again, just because I'm curious. I'll let you know. I'll text you.
Yeah, just
and let you know, because I'm curious.
I'm just surprised that, like, I feel like a year or like 7 years later, you would get a text at 3 a.m. that just said, Jew down. You know, like, I feel like that's the kind of. Not like, do you want to hang out? Just Jew down.
What text was nice thing?
Yeah. Jew down. Well, you were amazing. This was an incredible. This was an incredible tale, and thank you so much for doing the pod. I'm serious. Like, you're so fucking funny.
I had so much fun.
Yeah.
I always, whenever I'm doing a podcast, I'm like, oh, where will I fit it in? And then I'm the one that doesn't shut up. I love them. But especially yours because I feel like, I don't know. We just, yeah. It's always a good hang.
We're two Jews that see the funniness in Southerners. It's great. Where can they find you?
Yeah, and next time we're going to talk about your mom and your childhood. We're going to dig in deep next time, Andrew.
All right, we'll dig in so deep that we'll figure. We'll fly below the clouds.
Did you just ask me what I'm doing, what to promote? Let me think. When is this going to come out?
Tonight.
Tonight. Oh, well, I'll be at Acme in Minneapolis. They have like various COVID regulations and they're seating in a distanced way and people wear masks and everything. So I'm going to do that in a week. And then I'm just, I'm mostly off the road playing locally and I do a Zoom show every week with my, with Jessica Kirsten.
Nice.
Called We're Not Okay. So it's just like, we just kind of ramble about our various mental health issues. In case you'd be interested in doing it sometime. But I won't put on pressure right now. I'll text you later about that. But it's called We're Not Okay on Zoom. And the link is in my bio and on my Instagram, which is @RachelFeinstein_ and other shows I put up on Instagram, probably the most.
And yeah, if you're in Minneapolis or anywhere around that city, go check out Rachel. She's so funny. And and you could see her stupid tits. Isn't that what the guy said? What was your name? What was your other name? Dumb stupid tits or Jew down?
I can't remember. Yes, it was sugar tits.
Oh, sugar tits. They're dumb too, though.
Oh yeah, they're very dumb. Real dumb.
We learned that when you're in preschool. And
oh yeah, I had the scans. You know how they had to put little things on top of your head, like EKG scans. Like they were. One time, my parents were arguing. My dad goes, "She's not normal, Karen." And my mom goes, we'll scan her again. We'll re-scan her. We'll figure it out.
I got scanned too.
You got scanned too?
Because I fell off a bunk bed twice on the concrete and I woke up in a scan and I still think the scan was wrong because it said your boy was okay. I don't believe it.
Was it a head scan? Just quickly before you go, what kind of scans did you get?
It was a full it was like a MRI, like full.
That's what I had.
Yeah.
Jews love to scan their kids. So you had like a big helmet drop down on you kind of thing. And it's a lot. There's no wonder we're fucking comedians. There is a lot of shit that went down that happened. And you're right. Those scans didn't work very well for either of us because they would have found out a lot more. But I love you.
Yeah, I don't trust any scan anymore. I don't.
I love you, Andrew. I can't wait
to
hang.
Thank you so much. And I'll tag you tonight, girl.
Okay, bye.
Later, G.